A musical adventure. New artists, new musicians, and everyone involved in the world of music. Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, this is J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, with your host, Jamie Rodriguez. Let's find out what we have this episode.
Well, 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 young Padawans, good day to you, wherever you're listening to from. Welcome to a new episode of J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. Jamie Rodriguez here, your host of this particular program, J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. How y'all doing? Hope you all are doing all right. We're in the midst of a busy start of the year. We hope you guys are staying musically inspired in whatever you're doing in your beautiful lives. Stay in a good state. Stay smiling, guys. And guys, we're thrilled to have Tyler Ramsey on the show today, former lead guitarist of Band of Horses. And he has shared an incredible new album, guys. New Lost Ages comes out February 9th via Soundly Music. And boy, is it a great record. The record, just really profound. His songwriting is like nobody else. Just really enjoyed having Tyler on the show. It's 10 songs of a sonical quest, really, that melds a big array of musical landscape. It gives you all the feels between rock and folk, and it's just great. And Tyler's going to be on tour, by the way. He just started in Highlands, North Carolina, but he's going to be going all the way to May and counting, but at least officially until May, last date being in Greer, South Carolina in mid-May. But Ramsey is all emotion. He's humble, a beautiful soul, and this was a profound, profound conversation. And there's a performance here at the end, too, so make sure to stick around. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to J-Rod Concerts, the podcast with Tyler Ramsey.
Jamie.
Tyler Ramsey.
How you doing?
Look at that beautiful office compound situation going on. Stunning. I see you're coming from North Carolina, from Asheville, from your house, right?
I am. Yep. I'm in my little music room down here. I live out kind of like about out in the country outside of Asheville. So I'm when we moved out here, we have a smaller house than we used to, and I built this little room down here to put my stuff in, so I have a place to play and get away every once in a while.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And by the way, New Lost Ages, great new album out February 9th. But Tyler, let me ask you this, because you've been in Asheville for so long. I mean, you've gone, but you came back. You've seen its growth. You know, what does it feel like that it is no longer a hidden gem? It is like the cool place to be for artists and creatives and entrepreneurs. Seems like everybody's flocking to Asheville. Are you a little upset that the secret's out?
You can't be upset. I think that's happening everywhere, you know. You're in Nashville, right? I think.
Yeah, we crossed that threshold.
I went to Brentwood High School over there, and I saw it, you know. From the time I went there to now, that place is going crazy too. So it's just, you know, it's just the way it is. It's not, you know, I definitely miss some of the things about it like 15 years ago or whatever, but what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's all of it. Yeah.
And I think that mindset that you're giving us, I think it relates so well to like your latest album and really like your whole mindset. And in other interviews, you know, you've mentioned that with all the noise in society, all the conflicts that are going on in today's world, we don't even have to talk about them. It is easier to just kind of like, not easier, but it is better to just kind of let go of what we can't control and focus on giving and focus on loving. And I think, Tyler, that message is so powerful and so beautiful, essential in today's world, I would say. So first of all, I wanted to thank you because with New Lost Ages, making this theme the centerpiece of your album, of living, of just like being a sense of love, is something that we really need.
Yeah, I mean, I think that happened to me just having children, you know, and realizing that if I was, it's not that I'm not paying attention to what's going on in the world, but like, I think there's a certain level of that you can maintain. And then there's a threshold that you cross maybe that, is kind of unhealthy because it is like, you know, it's kind of a, it's out of our hands a lot of the time, you know. But what is in our grasp is like, you know, at least for me right now is like, I've got a 2-year-old boy and a 9-year-old daughter, and trying to have, you know, raise them and give them like hope and have them see the magic in the world and be excited about everything. And that's all possible. You know, you just have to kind of like change your focus, I think. And, you know, if I was paying attention to all the dreadful things all the time, I think that wouldn't be a good way for them to see what it's like to grow up in this world. So it's just it's something that I do for myself, and I you know, it hopefully comes across to my family as they grow and, you know, move forward in the world. I think living out here in the country too is you know, we don't have to be in the middle of everything every day. We're a little farther out, and just get to kind of create our own world sometimes. Not all the time, but occasionally we'll have a day where we can be like, we're not going to participate in some of that stuff, and
sure,
and just be here and be around each other, and, you know, trying to be an awesome little family.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when I was listening, you know, past couple of days in research to, you know, like Where Were You, or, you know, or any of the songs on the album, that's what kind of came popping up. Like, you know, that what's wrong is always available, but so is what's right. And I just kept.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, that came from your music.
Oh, well, gosh. It sounds like you've thought of that, and I'm liking hearing that. I think it's a, you know, it's a constant exercise, like trying to figure out where your focus needs to be. I think it's like an exercise for anybody, and you know, you might not be in a situation where you can necessarily turn off what's going on all around you. You know, you might be in the middle of complete turmoil, and the idea of like not focusing on that is impossible. But I think, you know, a lot of times there are opportunities to choose where your, you know, where your attention goes, maybe.
Yeah.
That affects everything in your life. You know, it can affect your health, your mental health, and
yeah,
you know, the people around you and all that stuff. So.
Absolutely. Well said, Tyler. Well, you know, shifting a little bit to the album, I mean, it, you know, you did this with Phil Elk, obviously a great producer. You know, he's worked with Father John Misty and the Shins and Fleet Foxes. And, you know, you mentioned before that this is kind of like one of the first projects where you like let go, where you let go and kind of like jump a little bit into the unknown with your album there. I would imagine, I mean, if I was an artist, I'm not an artist, but at this, you know, letting go of my baby, that must have been super hard.
Well, Phil Eck, yeah, he, you know, I knew he was going to be amazing to work with. I'd had the opportunity to work with him for a second years and years ago, and just saw how insanely talented he is, you know, and obviously listening to all of his body of work that he's done over the years, it's hard not to trust him, you know. But for me, it was like a, it was an exercise, because I wanted to try and do a record that way, the way that the, you know, all those guys did those records. I wanted to have the opportunity to kind of give over control to somebody that does fantastic work and see what together what we could come up with. So when I asked Phil if he you know, if he wanted to do the project, and he said yes, then we I told him, like, if there's anything you want me to do, if you want me to rewrite lyrics, if I need to work on the forms of the songs, or like, you know, different parts, anything, just, you know, tell me, and I'm open to, you know, doing the work that you want me to do. It turned out mostly it was like in the studio, like, you know, hard work, because he really wants to get the right performance, and he knows exactly when he gets it, you know. So it was exactly what I wanted it to be, working with Phil, and even more than that, because I feel like what we ended up with was beyond my expectations.
Yeah,
and it's funny because it's not a huge shift in direction for me as a musician or a songwriter. It's a big step just giving over to him and having the final product just sound the way it does. I'm so proud of it. I'm excited that we got to do that, and I'm excited for people to hear it.
Yeah, very well said. So Tyler, and bear with me with this example, because what I'm listening to is, it's a little bit like when people, I know you haven't been single for a while or whatever, but like when people jump into a relationship and they come protected. Like there's an author that says, you know, the walls that protect you are also the walls that imprison you. Is it a little bit like that with a songwriter when they come to a producer? Like it seems like you came to this project, you came to Phil, like completely with an open heart, and it paid off. Can you come in as a songwriter kind of like tedious, and then the product itself is not what it could be?
I think that can happen to people for sure. It wasn't hard because I just knew how good he was, and I knew him already. You know, we had like a little bit of a relationship going, but it is, yeah, it's similar. You're kind of like taking something you worked so hard on, and then if you're actually using a producer, I think properly, you're gonna collaborate, and then that becomes, you know, it becomes teamwork instead of just what I tend to do, like here in this room. You know, I can sit down here all day and come up with songs, and they mean so much to me, and they, you know, it's like a part of my heart, really, what I do. But like, yeah, being open to handing that to someone else and saying, hey, if this line doesn't work, then tell me, you know, let me work harder, you know, let me try and make it as good as it can be. So yeah, it's a different experience for me. I mean, I've worked with people that were on, you know, have production on my records, but like I never really quite let go the way that I did Phil, you know.
I love it, Tyler. Tyler, you know, talking about a song, Flair, why is Neil Casal such an important figure in your life?
You know, Neil, I just barely knew Neil, actually. You know, I kind of chanced across him and Circles Around the Sun in a music store here in town, a guitar store, when they were passing through Asheville. And I had met their manager before, and he said hi to me, and then he introduced me to the guys. And I think something happened, like they had like somebody maybe canceled on a few opening slots for them, so they had like, you know, a handful of shows. I think I can't remember, like around five shows that they needed someone to come out and open. And I was like, they reached out like maybe an hour after that and said, hey, do you want to open these shows? And I said, yeah, that sounds great, you know. And it was an odd pairing, you know, Circles Around the Sun and what I do isn't necessarily like a cohesive night, but it worked great. It was fantastic. Within those five shows and traveling around, kind of chasing those guys around, they were in a bus, I was in my van, you know, I just saw, you know, got to have some really cool experiences with Neil and with the band, you know, just saw what a tender person he was. He was treating me like really, really nice. And he would come watch me do my set and was super encouraging and just, you know, and I felt like a real kinship and similarity, not only in just our personalities, like I felt like we were, you know, bound to be friends, but I also felt like we were also in just very similar places, maybe in our careers, you know, at that time. He was trying to get Circles Around the Sun was starting to roll a little bit more. And I think maybe the Chris Robinson Brotherhood was like kind of had just fallen apart. They were like putting a record out, but he told me like that they weren't going to be touring on it or something. So it just felt like we were kind of brothers, and I had the feeling in my heart that I was going to ask him to play on a record or maybe produce a record or collaborate somehow after that tour was over. So that's kind of it was a really quick moment with him, but I just saw what I thought he was. And I saw what the potential of our friendship maybe could have been. So, yeah. And yeah.
Beautiful. What a beautiful encounter. You know, that's, it's not the quantity, it's the quality, you know, of the energy exchange there. But let me ask you this. 2024, obviously you're going to tour this around the country, around the world, but like on a human level, on a father level, on a partner level, what do you hope your expansion is going to be in 2024?
My expansion?
Your expansion, your spiritual expansion. Yeah. Like what do you want to?
Oh gosh. You know, I really need to like, I feel like, I need to get faith back in like being a touring musician, because it's been a while since I've done like extensive touring, and so I'm a little nervous honestly about it, being out and what that's gonna feel like. I also feel more and more when I do shows, like I do feel more and more like connection with people in the audience, and like traveling around and meeting people is part of staying connected. It's real easy to tour as a musician and become completely ungrounded, and you lose kind of like your connection to your regular life. So my hope, I guess, is that I stay connected and I meet new people, and I'm constantly trying to figure out ways of traveling that feel grounded as well. Like, you know, if there's a day off, I want to find the woods and go for a walk, or, you know, go camp somewhere. It's do things like that keep me like feeling like I'm living a normal life, as well as getting to play music for people and, you know, in different towns. And
sure.
So yeah, it'll be wild. And I really hope that people, I have high hopes that this record gets heard and that, people connect with it, because it's a big deal for me, this one. So
yeah,
I really want people to hear it. I want people to come out and see shows, and, you know, so I can keep doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful album, Tyler. And I say this as someone that does this for a living. I don't say this often, but you have a message with your album. So the fact that next year, you know, there's days that are hard, that you're driving for 8-9 hours, that you're eating crappy gas station food, all that stuff. Know that you have a purpose with this album, and you're going to change people's lives. Yeah. And that is the most
beautiful. Yeah, man. That's beautiful. I hope so, man. I really do. That's beautiful. Thank you for saying that.
That's true, man. Thank you so much for that. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Jamie, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take care.
You too. Have a great day.
You have been listening to J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. Thank you for tuning in.